I hope it's all right for me to lay my Bible cover on the King's table here. I'm going to do it anyway. I think I'm back at the Biltmore House. You know, if you've been to the Biltmore and looked at the big room, don't want to take away anybody's heavenly reward, but I really appreciate what the Burtons have done. I know a lot of other people have been involved in this, getting all this ready throughout the building, but the Burton family has particularly, and I just want to publicly thank them for that. We're going to head on into our study this morning, which we've been looking at one anothering in 2017. We've been looking for several weeks at this idea of loving one another as family. Now, as we think about family, when we think about photographs, a lot of you are probably familiar with this website or with some pictures from awkward family photos. How many of you are familiar with the awkward family photos? So you can see their little subtitle there, Spreading the Awkwardness. So this is like real family photos that people submit and say, hey, you know, we were taking a photo one time and this kind of crazy thing ended up. So I'm going to show just a few of them to you. You see, sometimes in a family photo, Grandma gets kind of left out a little bit. I'm not sure if she was supposed to be in it and was sitting in the wrong place, but you know, sometimes in our families, somebody gets left out, maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally. And then, of course, there are those family members that will only have their picture made if they're wearing a mask, all right? You know, they don't want anybody to know who they really are, don't want to really see them. Transparency is like a bad word for them. And then occasionally, if you look closely, occasionally somebody gets dropped, all right? It's accidental normally, but sometimes at just the wrong time, even when the photographer snaps the photo, somebody falls in the family. And then if you're squeamish and you don't want to look at this, then that's fine. But and this was a real family photo. Sometimes the little kid gets sick, all right? My wife told me don't stay on that very long, so I'm going to go ahead and jump on. But you know, we're going to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 12, and as you turn there, it's just a reminder that, you know, there is some awkwardness sometimes in the family, and there are those people that get left out, and there are those who are hiding behind a mask. There are others who get dropped and injured, and some get sick and need special care. And we've been looking at some of these things as we've considered together this idea of loving one another as family. And our text verse has been Romans 12 and verse 10. And we're going to start our reading in verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. We could pause and just let that sink in. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Let that sink in as well. And then our text verse, we'll just read the first half of the verse. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. We're not going to go back through it because we've looked at it several times, and I encourage you to go back to the other messages on this topic if you've not heard them as we went more into the original language here. The idea of being kindly affectionate is a family love term, particularly between parents and children. And then, of course, he goes on to expound on that with this idea of brotherly love, which brings before us this idea of sibling love within the Christian family, within the family of God, within the local church family. He says that we should see one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And all through the New Testament, we see the different writers addressing the believers as brethren, as brothers and sisters, as siblings. And so we have started looking at 10 characteristics of a healthy family, which provide opportunities to love one another as family. Again, we're not going to go back through them. Here's the four that we've already looked at. Our goal is to look at the other six this morning. So we're going to need to move rather quickly through this through these things as we talk about being kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, or loving one another as family. And so the fifth characteristic of a healthy family that provide opportunities for us to love one another as family is this idea of celebration. Celebration. You know, healthy families love to celebrate together. Special occasions. Last Sunday morning, I went up for my birthday, and I was celebrating number 60. Wow. I couldn't believe that, because I thought, wow, the next big one is 70. But some of you 70-year-olds make me feel good about getting to 70, so I'm feeling better about that. But we love to celebrate anniversaries. We just had these couples come up, and we celebrate. We rejoice with them. We like to celebrate birthdays and holidays and highlights of family members' lives. We've had graduates recently this year, and we've celebrated with them. People get new jobs, and they get promotions in their work, and they get an accomplishment at school or in the community. And we rejoice together in our biological families or our adoptive families. We celebrate things like new family members. When a new baby is born into a family, we celebrate. And when someone adopts a child into their family, we celebrate. When a couple gets married, we celebrate. Sometimes we don't celebrate, depends on who they married. But usually we try to celebrate that because hopefully by that time we're glad that they're marrying that person. We go to family reunions and we get together and we celebrate. We celebrate when guests come to be with our family, and healthy families enjoy being together. They enjoy being together to celebrate. You know, you might ask yourself, do I look forward to being together with my human family, or my human family, but my I don't want to say birth family, it's not always birth, but you know what I'm saying, my nuclear family and extended family, and then, because a lot of things we're going to say this morning, you can relate it to your family, but also, and what we're primarily talking about this morning, is our chapel family. Do we enjoy being together? Do we look forward to being together? Can I say that, you know, I can get with other believers in this local assembly, and I can have fun with them. I can laugh with them. I can play with them. I can create with them. I can learn with them. I can remember together with them. You know, these two verses from the New Testament letters remind us about rejoicing with one another. In Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice. In 1 Corinthians 12:26, when one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So that question comes to our minds as we think about this idea of loving one another as family. Do I enjoy celebrating with the Shannon Hills Bible Chapel family? Do I enjoy celebrating things like birthdays and anniversaries like we did this morning? Do I enjoy celebrating weddings and births and adoptions and even funerals? You know, funerals for the believer, they're celebrations of life, right? And there are many ways that we can enjoy. You say, well, I shouldn't enjoy a funeral, but yet we can enjoy a funeral. We look back on a life that was lived for the Lord Jesus. It's a real opportunity. When someone gets married and we're all invited to the wedding, then we can come and celebrate. And when there's a funeral, everybody's invited, we can come and we can celebrate what God has done. We can celebrate every time we come together, celebrating who God is. We sang songs this morning, songs of worship and songs of testimony, rejoicing together, celebrating together in who God is. Many of us gathered at 9:30 this morning down the hall in a very simple way with bread and the fruit of the vine and a simple song book. And we sang and we looked into the Word of God and we celebrated the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is and what He has done for us. We can rejoice in what God is doing in our lives. Last Sunday night, Zach Armfield shared what God is doing in his life and the life of his wife, Paula, and what he did in their lives in Italy and what he's going to do in their, hopefully in their lives in the future. And we could come together and we can celebrate that. We can enjoy being together. Enjoy talking about the Lord Jesus and enjoy talking about how He has been working. And so here at the chapel, as we seek to love one another as family, we seek to have a healthy balance of seriousness and fun. You know, we come together to remember the Lord, and that's not just a time of happiness in the sense of smiling and celebrating, because we're thinking about a time that the Lord Jesus died a gruesome death. So there's a proper balance. And as we come together and we love each other as family and we think about something like a funeral, we don't come together and laugh the whole time. No, there's seriousness. And that's what we seek to do as a family. Do you enjoy your fellowship with your brothers and sisters here? Recently, when our family was at the beach, our oldest son Josh had asked that we would read a book before we came or while we were there and talk about it. It was called The TechWise Family. I'd recommend it. A good book. It's called, the subtitle is Everyday Steps for Putting Technology in Its Proper Place. It's by a brother in the Lord named Andy Crouch, The TechWise Family. And there are 10 TechWise commitments. And the last one, Kim really kind of got hold of this and we talked about it. Here's what it is. We show up in person for the big events of life. We learn how to be human by being fully present at our moments of greatest vulnerability. We hope to die in one another's arms. You know, I think a way to kind of summarize this idea of celebration is that loving one another as family means enjoying life's highlights together. When something good happens to you, do you want to tell somebody that you're in fellowship with here? I hope you want to tell your earthly family, your biological or adoptive family. I hope you want to tell them. But do you want to tell the people here? Do you want to celebrate that? We got an opportunity through celebration to love one another as family. And then the next one is the characteristic of closeness. This idea of family intimacy. You know, I appreciate the fact that in Proverbs 18:24, we read that a man who has friends must show himself friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, those of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior, we recognize that He is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. But you know, the idea here that he's basing this on, and sometimes we have other friends who stick closer than brothers too, and that's what we should strive to do as we show ourselves friendly. But you know, the basis of the whole verse is that we would expect a brother to stick closer than anyone else. That's the idea that's in this verse. You see, there's a closeness and an intimacy that comes with being a part of a family. Now, this is not always true, but this is desired. This is God's design. It's hoped for, and it's even expected. You know, the church family, and I don't mean the churches back here, Paul and Darlene, your family, you could fit in, but we're talking about the local church family. If you don't know the churches, that was why I said that. The church family, the local church family, is connected by a common bond. So we should display our healthiness as a family through our closeness. Our common bond is shared by a common blood, not the blood that flows through our veins, but rather the blood that flowed out of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, who we can respectfully call our older brother, as he's not ashamed, according to Hebrews chapter 2, to call us brothers. And those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, those of us who have recognized that I'm a sinner, I'm not talking about everybody else, I'm talking about me, that I'm a sinner. And my sin has separated me from God, who created me to have a relationship with Him and who loves me, but I have a problem, and that problem is I have done things that have disagreed with God's standard of perfection, and therefore I am separated. But those of us who have come to that recognition and then recognized that God sent His own Son, the Lord Jesus, who came to the cross of Calvary and died for our sins, shed that blood that we might be forgiven of every sin, of all sin. and he's been raised back to life, and we believed on the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we've been brought into a relationship with God as our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, our older brother, and every other believer in the Lord Jesus as our brother or our sister in Christ. And we share a spirit. Not just an attitude, but the Holy Spirit who lives within every believer in the Lord Jesus. Not if you're real spiritual and you read your Bible every day this week, then the Holy Spirit lives within you. No, he lives within every believer. Now, when we yield ourselves to the Lord, and when we are in the Word of God, and when we are in communion with God, and we're confessing our sins, then the Spirit of God has that freedom to direct us. Yes, true. But every believer has the Spirit of God working in our lives. And it should result, this common bond of blood and spirit should result in the closest of intimacy. And closeness involves knowing one another, not just sitting near each other, not just being in the same building, but knowing one another, and that requires effort. It requires learning. It requires listening. It requires unselfishly investing time in building relationship. It involves trusting. So the question we might ask ourselves, am I moving closer to or further from my family here if I'm a part of this local church family, identifying with this local body of believers? Am I moving closer to or further from that? It's hard to do that if I'm like the little boy in the awkward family photo with the mask on, you know, and I don't want anybody to know me. You know, loving one another as family means prioritizing intimacy in family relationships. If I'm going to be close, if I'm going to express my love for you, through this idea of closeness, and it means I'm going to have to prioritize that. I'm going to have to invest in that. I'm going to have to spend time with you and ask you questions and listen to the answers and be available for you to ask me questions and to give you the answers. So closeness, we're hurrying on through. Number seven is this area of conflict. You might say, well, you're moving kind of far away from closeness into conflict, but of course, not really. Because we normally have conflict when we're close together, right? That's one reason that we don't get close to other people. It's because it invariably can result in conflict. Disagreement in the first family. I'm not talking about the Trumps. They probably have their own disagreements with one another. I'm talking about the very first family. Adam and Eve and their sons, Cain and Abel. And we look back to the beginning of the history of the human family, and we find there was conflict. Or there was disagreement. And not only in that first family, but to some degree in probably every family since then. Families don't always agree, do they? Families don't necessarily usually agree. And that's not only true in your family, but it's also true in the local church family. And we see it back in the first century. Back in Acts chapter 15, we read about a sharp contention, is the way it says it in the New King James. There was the contention was so sharp, is actually how it says, between Paul and Barnabas. They were the first missionary team. The first missionary team sent out by the local church in Antioch, part of that church family, and they went out together, and when they got ready to go back for a second term, there was a sharp contention about whether or not they should take a young man named John Mark with them. You see, there's been contention in local church families since the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2. And since you look through the local churches that we read about in the New Testament, and we find that there is conflict. You see, a healthy family values relationship. A healthy family understands that it's important to be connected and to stay connected. And that healthy family value of relationship enables us to seek restoration when there is a break in the relationship through conflict, and the healthy family works through the conflict. in such a way that is designed to strengthen rather than tear down the family itself and the individual family members. Now, not every family functions like that. Not every church family functions like that. But then not every family is healthy, and not every church family is healthy, and particularly in this area. As we mature, hopefully, in the Lord, we will find it coming upon us sometimes to be seeking conflict resolution with what we read in the book of Romans and the book of 1 Corinthians as a weaker brother or a weaker sister. They are struggling with the issue, and it's up to us, not only us, but up to us who are seeking to have a healthy family and who are seeking to grow in the Lord, and we feel like maybe we've matured some in the Lord, then it comes upon us that we'll reach out to these ones who were struggling. So here's a kind of a little bit of a longer summary. Loving one another means also viewing conflict not only as inevitable, but also as an opportunity for growth for the family and glory to our Father as we address it wisely. So it's not just a bad thing. I mean, it's not a good thing when we have conflict, and it's usually caused by a bad thing, but it can be a good thing. If we will recognize that as we address this in a mature manner, that we can actually grow the family and individuals in the family, including us, can grow, and God our Father can be glorified as the world looks on and they see that we love one another. What did the Lord Jesus say? This is how everyone's going to know you're my disciple. Not because you have all the right doctrine, though you should have the right doctrine. Not because you can quote a lot of verses, though it's great to be able to quote a lot of verses. No, how will the world know that we're His disciples, that we love one another? Number 8, the area of character. The area or the characteristic of character. You ever had anybody tell you this? I know you ladies haven't. Or if you don't have a brother, you hadn't heard this. I can tell your brothers. In other words, they're saying, there's something about you that reminds me of your brother. Now, this next statement is sometimes said as a compliment and sometimes said not so complimentary. You are just like your father. I don't know if any of you moms have ever said that to your sons or not. If you did, maybe you said it as a compliment, maybe you didn't at certain times. But you know, there are things within a family, there are character traits within a family that reflect the family. They just seem to kind of go along with that particular family, and somebody might not quite be connected with the family resemblance, but healthy families reflect the family resemblance. And maybe I should reword that. Maybe I should reword that as healthy families reflect a healthy family resemblance. So if you're taking notes, add that in there. Because every family does reflect a family resemblance, but it may not be healthy. But it's being reflected. And now as we come to the local church family, we're not talking about physical attributes. Or you look like him. You know, you could be her sister. We're talking about character qualities. And we're talking about being siblings who favor one another because we all reflect our father and our older brother. You know, the character of the Lord Jesus, we see it in the Gospels. We read the Gospel accounts of the life of the Lord Jesus, and we can see His character displayed there. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we also see the character of the Lord Jesus displayed in the life of the one who knows the Lord Jesus. And as I said earlier, those who are allowing the Holy Spirit of God to control their lives, we can see the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we come to Vacation Bible School this week. We're going to be singing about the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to be singing how the fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. And it's not a pineapple, and it's not a lemon or a banana. No, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the character of the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit of God wants to live that out through you. Galatians 2 and verse 20, you know probably that I love that verse. I've been crucified with Christ, and yet I'm still living. But it's not me anymore, it's Christ who's living in me. The life of the Lord Jesus, His righteousness, holiness, His peace, His love, is being lived out, I hope, through my life. And it's being lived out through your life and your life, then it's going to be obvious that you must be connected somehow. You're a part of the same family. Healthy families realize that individually we reflect on our Father and the other family members. You've heard of those families who, when the child goes out, maybe as a teenager, driving, and says, "Don't forget, while you're out, whatever you do, whatever you say, however you act, it reflects on your family, not just you." The same is true of us as believers in the Lord Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul challenges us to be imitators of God, to look like God, to live like God, to respond like God, to have the character of God as dear children, because we are the children of God. And everything we do reflects on Him and reflects on other believers. So what is the character that our family as a whole reflects? What do we reflect to one another as we come together and as we think about one another? When people come in and they receive a visitor packet, it's their first time they've ever been with us. What do they think about this family? What character do we reflect to them? To those in our community who know that we attend or are in fellowship at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, what do they think about Shannon Hills Bible Chapel based on what they see in our lives? How are we reflecting the family? What's the character that our assembly family reflects to those who were looking for reality, who were longing for community, who were seeking something that is different from the status quo? What do they see? What is reflected? And what do we want the character of our family to be? You know, I think that the character of our family as a local church is reflected not so much by what we do as by our attitude in doing what we do. What's the attitude? Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in our lives when we serve the Lord? Hopefully we're serving the Lord in everything, on our jobs, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, working in the yard, driving down the road. We're serving the Lord, who is our Father and also our Master. So loving one another means being sensitive to my reflection on the family name. And I can't get away from that. And you might say, "Well, I just won't be a part of this family." Well, we still reflect on our Heavenly Father. We still reflect on our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And I hope that we will want to be a part of this family and be sensitive to the fact that we reflect on the family name. So that's eight. So number nine is the area of change. The area of change. Some of you would appreciate it if I came up to you and said, "You haven't changed a bit." But what if I added this onto it? You haven't changed a bit. You look and act just like you did when you were 2 years old. You say, "Way now, come on, hold it. I've matured a little bit beyond that. I look a little bit better," maybe not better, but I look older than I did when I was two, and I hope I act a little bit better and don't show the terrible twos. So, you know, change is something that is a part of life. And this may be a dangerous question, but is anybody in this room, maybe I won't ask you to raise your hand, is anybody in this room wearing the same clothes they did in 1967 when we moved into this building? I doubt it. Now, there may be different reasons that you're not wearing what you wore. Maybe it got worn out or you would still be wearing it. Maybe you outgrew it. Just possibly. You got taller. Maybe because styles have changed, you thought, okay, you know, I need to try to at least be only like 30 years behind instead of 50 years behind. Or maybe you just like occasionally to get something new. Or, you know, you've heard that. I probably said it myself. But the difference between a man and a woman saying, I don't have anything to wear. A man says, I don't have anything to wear. Or a woman says, I don't have anything to wear. It means, I don't have anything new to wear. A man says, I don't have anything to wear. It means, I don't have anything clean to wear. Okay, that's the difference. But maybe you want something clean or something new, and that's why you're not wearing the same thing. We've all changed. That's natural. Our family here, your family has changed. Your family's not the same as it was 50 years ago. And you're not the same. And this local church family is not the same. You know, healthy families recognize change over time as natural and necessary. You know, I think about 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That word transformed means changed. From the moment that we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, God started changing us. And He's going to be changing us until we're with the Lord Jesus. And then we're going to be made like the Lord Jesus. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, not just the individual change, but let me read there as he relates the people of God to a body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So we see the local church and the universal church as a body and also a family, and we're growing, and growth means change. It means there's something different. We're growing. Things change over time. Some things should never change. The message of the gospel will never change. The message of the gospel will always be the same. There won't be a new way to get saved in the future. The Word of God will never change. It's forever settled in heaven, and I'm thankful it won't change. I can count upon what God says, and I know it's not going to change, just like He doesn't change. The Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But many things do change. Our maturity level in life and in the Christian life, that changes, and it affects our tastes and our diet and our pace and our perspective. Our stage of life changes, and it affects our interest and our needs. Our health needs change, and that affects our energy level and our ability to do certain things. Our cultural environment changes, affecting how we are viewed and how we view ourselves and our purposes. Our awareness of the future changes and affects our planning. A lot of things change over time in life and in the life of the believer as we seek to apply the Word of God to our lives, because we are changing. The Word of God's not changing, but we're changing, and we seek to apply it to where we are in life right now. And your application of the Word of God to your own life when you're 60 years old, and I can tell you this from experience, is much different than when you're 6 years old. And that's not because anything's different about the Bible or wrong about the Bible. No, it's about us changing. So how do we respond to change? The desire for change, the need for change. You know, sometimes we resist change. And the older we get, it seems to me, the more that I don't like to change. I don't like my comfort level to be threatened. I don't like my enjoyment level to be compromised. But you know what? That's like this statement, which I would never make. And Jonathan, don't you pull this out like you've done sometime. Here, I don't want any grandkids because I like peace and quiet. Okay? Now, you might have thought that, but you wouldn't say that in public, right? I want my grandkids. I want my life to change. I want to have grandchildren. And yes, that means I have to give up some peace and quiet. Yes, that means that I can't just sit on the beach and read a book under an umbrella all day. But you know, I'll give that up any day for the change that goes along, or for the benefits that go along with the change. Sometimes we're selfish. Sometimes we look at any attempt to change and we view it with skepticism because we assume it's a bad thing. And we need to always filter it through the Word of God. But we need to be careful that sometimes change is needed. And change is a good thing. And change is a beneficial thing because the family is changing. And you see, loving one another means accepting changes in each other and in the family. Your life stage has changed over time. Your circumstances, your needs have changed over time. And when our needs change and our circumstances change, we want other people to understand. And we want them to love us anyway. And that's the way that we should love one another, because we are a family. We're loving one another as family because we are a family. In this area of change is one of those areas, one of those characteristics in which we can have opportunity to show love to one another. One more. We made it to number 10, and it's still not 12 o'clock. And it's this area, what I'm going to call communion. Communion. When I come to the area of communion, I'm thinking really about the word fellowship. But if you happen to have noticed, the other nine started with a C, so you know, surely I want this one to start with a C, right? You know what? When you're in a family, you share things. You know, from the time that my sister was born, when I was approximately, my mother could tell me exactly, and if I could do math quicker, you know, I was what, like 17 months old or eight, something like that. You know, and from that time, I have never had my own room, okay? So the first 17 months of my life, I had my own room. Never had my own room since. I either shared it with a brother in my family or with a roommate, or with my lovely wife, who I'm sharing it with now. You know, sometimes in a family, you share things. You share a car. Can I borrow the car, Dad? Please. I'll take real good care of it. And you know, I'll check the oil once every 3 years, too, if you let me borrow the car, you know. And sometimes you even share a cup. Some families won't drink after each other. But, you know, hey, you know, I blow stuff off and it falls on the floor, and I drink after other people in my family. And I might, see, but I'm not as quick to drink after you. You might notice that. If you offer me your drink, I might not drink it, but I'm going to drink after anybody in my family. I think they have a stomach bug. Then I won't drink after them. But you know, healthy families share their lives with each other. Now, there's a verse that we're going to look at next Sunday, because next Sunday morning, we're going to look at this idea of fellowshipping with one another, and that is going to kick us into a study of the book of 1 John. That's where we're going to be heading starting next Sunday. So really, this is kind of just a little segue into that study, this idea of fellowshipping with one another, sharing our lives with each other, sharing our spiritual food with each other. You know, those of us who have the opportunity at times to speak publicly or to teach Sunday school or to teach Bible school, we have an avenue of sharing spiritual food. But you know, that's not the only way to share spiritual food. You know, everybody in this room, you can take the Word of God, and as you read and meditate and maybe even study, you can share with somebody else. I encourage you to do that. Share your spiritual food with a brother or sister in Christ, at least one. Tell them what you saw in the Scripture. Share that with them. You're sharing food, and they're sharing food with you. Praying with and for one another. Not just hearing someone else pray, but you praying. Maybe audibly if you're a brother in the meeting. Maybe silently, brother or sister. Maybe praying individually with another believer who says, "Will you pray for me about something?" And say, "Yes, I will." And maybe pray right then if it's in an appropriate place. And I don't know many places that aren't appropriate, because it's a great testimony. Remembering together. Again, remembering the Lord Jesus. We do it every Sunday morning. Not just another ritual or another time of going through the motion. It's sharing our lives. Honesty and transparency. Not just buzzwords for today's culture. Sharing our lives. I'll ask you a question. How many people here in this room know the real you? Let's think about that for a moment. How many people, and I don't mean know everything about you, but how many know the real you? And maybe you could also say, how many of the people in this room do you think you really know? You know, a healthy family communes together, shares life together. And true communion requires both an openness to others sharing with you and also an openness to sharing with them. I'll be honest with you. You know, you can share anything with me. And many of you have shared a lot of things with me. And I think that most people that have shared something with me would say, well, you know, Mark's not going to be shocked or he's not going to turn away from you if you share something. But you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm slow to share with you. I'm slow to share with you. That's a difficulty for me. So I'm being transparent about my difficulty being transparent, okay? But, you know, if we're really going to be closer, if we're really going to fellowship, then we need to grow in that with one another. So there are 10 areas. I'm going to pop off that slide real quickly and look at this one as we go to prayer. What do I need to address in prayer and in practice right now in the next few, by the next minute, in order to better love my brothers and sisters in Christ as family members this week? And so now we're going to jump back to this one. I'm going to leave it right here. We're going to pray. Then David's going to play a verse. And while he's playing the verse, please use this time. This might be the most valuable time of the morning that we're together as far as this service, okay? It's the time that you take what God has said to you in His Word and you respond to it in making a commitment. So that's the question. What do you need to address right now in prayer and in practice? What do I need to address right now in prayer and in practice in order to better love my brothers and sisters in Christ, you, as family members this week, okay? Let's pray, and then David will play, and then we'll be dismissed after he finishes. Father, thank you for letting us be together. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much that you would give your one and only Son, the Son of your love, the perfect one, to come and to take our place. Lord, to be our substitute, to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Father, thank you for placing all of our guilt and all of our punishment on Him. The one who deserved none of that and took all of that because of love. And thank you, Father, that you have made it possible for us to be a part of your family. And Lord, anybody in this room that's not a part of your family, may today they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved right where they sit. May they receive Him as their Savior. And Father, for those of us who know you as Savior, and particularly those of us who are part of this local body of believers or another local body of believers, may we recognize that responsibility that we have to love one another as family. Father, that's difficult at times. And Father, we want to do it to honor you, our Father, and the Lord Jesus, our Savior and older brother. Father, we thank you for those who are visiting with us. Father, maybe you would have them be a part of this local family of believers. Father, help us to love one another in the way that you want us to. Father, use these next few seconds in our lives to help direct us for this week that's ahead. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.